Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
You know, Megan mentioned her favorite service of the year is the candlelight service. It's going on Christmas Eve. It's also my favorite service of the year. And so every week we're kind of giving you a little bit of a teaser of some of the ministry that's going to be going on that night. And today we're going to give you a snapshot. We're going to invite Lily to come. Lily, if you'll come, she's going to minister through song this morning. Would y'all make her feel welcome today? Thanks for doing this.
That will bless a mom and a daddy. And how about you, Arlen?
Yeah.
Man, welcome, guys. We're so glad to be here today with you to share another Christmas miracle. Man, if you did not have a chance to see last week's. We're here, be a part of last week's. Check it out online on our Christmas miracles. Can anybody tell me what last week's miracle was? Okay, I'm not putting you on the spot. God loves you. Well, today we're going to look at another Christmas miracle. You know, I think we look at miracles a lot in a lot of different ways, but God is still in the business of doing miracles every day in our lives. I think sometimes we just miss all of the beautiful miracles that God just does on a daily basis for us. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things and the moments that are going on around us, we just miss. God loves you.
Yes, he does.
People matter to him, and he's going to do everything he can to bring you to him. And today we're going to look at our second Christmas miracle, and it's God with us. Now I'm going to take you, we're going to go a little bit past Christmas, and we're going to go typically where we start around Easter time to look at this incredible miracle, God with us. So let me set this up before we get into Luke 19, because this was right at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. He was coming into Jerusalem for his last time to hang out with his disciples, and then you know what happened to led up to our Easter weekend, the resurrection and so forth. But something incredible happened right there at the beginning before he even entered into Jerusalem. It's incredible, but and it's so sad at the same time. But let's read here together at Luke 19:41. And it says, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep." How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and the peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground, you and your children. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited with you. Man, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your incredible love. And Lord, I pray that all of our hearts would be open, God. And I pray that you would just lead this service and help me to be your vessel, to speak your word of truth. Lord, to help guide people into you, Lord, today. May you open our hearts. May our hearts not be hardened. May our hearts not be full of pride. But God, may we see that we need you as our Savior. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus knew that this was going to be a new chapter in his life. But as he stood there, before he even walked in, the Bible says he began to weep. He didn't begin to cry. He began to weep. He stood there and he looked into this beautiful city. The heartbeat of the Jewish community was Jerusalem. This is the city, the walls, the temple, everything, and what little bit is still standing today from the original temple. But this is where it all happened. This is what was on Jesus' heart. The thing is that they rejected their king and they refused God's gift of salvation. How horrible it must have been for him that day. Think about it. He did all of these incredible miracles. The Bible said he did more miracles than the books could even write down because of his love for you. How horrible it must have been for him looking in the city, knowing what was going to happen 70 years down the road when Rome finally took siege of the city and destroyed the city, and over 500,000 people, Jewish people, were killed that day. Jesus foresaw what was coming. I wonder what he was thinking as he was looking into that city as well. Hearing all of the sounds, all of the commotion, smelling all of the smells, all of the people that he ministered to for all those years. How devastating that it was for him to know that God himself visited them. Friday night we was able to go to hear the high school choir. Lily and I think Patrick was singing, and it was beautiful, maybe some others. But it really hit on me on that song, Mary, did you know that you even kiss the face of God? Man, think about this. This wasn't just Jesus himself. This was God in the flesh. For the Bible says in Psalms 132, it says, for the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. And this was his resting place forever. He said, I will live here, for this is my home. Man, the thoughts and the emotions that went through Jesus that day, knowing that he was rejected as their king. The very one that they were praying for. The very prophets that were prophesying him for hundreds and hundreds of years, he was standing right there in the middle of them. But yet, they rejected him. I wonder if that time, when Jesus was a kid, he used to sit in the temple. And he would ask questions, and he would talk to the leading priest, and he would visit with them. And they were amazed at him and his knowledge and understanding. I wonder if any of those priests were there that day when Jesus come walking into Jerusalem. I wonder if any of them were a part of his life, knowing that they rejected their king. You see, Jesus did not produce the glamour that they were accustomed to. He came in humility, where they elevated themselves in pride. Jesus didn't come how they were expecting him to come. Jesus was coming in a totally different way, in a form of humility that only those with humble hearts and only those who knew that they needed a Savior would come. The Bible says that in Psalms 19:1, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the works of his hand. You see, God came in the glamour and the majestic beauty only the universe could bring for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Only he could do that. The star that shined and shone bright, the angels that glowed with the radiance of God's glory, and the vast host of others, angels praising and singing so loud, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. For he came for the humble in heart. He came for those who knew they needed a Savior. He came for the Mary, the Joseph, the shepherds, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. He came for them that did not elevate themselves up to the high place. The Bible says in Psalms 149, it says, for the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with what? With victory. With victory. The prophet Isaiah foretold of his arrival. He says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, inside of this miracle, we're going to look at five different miracles. We're going to look at five miracles. And the first miracle is that God came for us. God loves us. People matter to him. God the Son, Jesus came to earth to save us. His very name means the Lord saves. We can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves from sin and the consequences of sin. No matter how good we are, we can't eliminate that sinful nature that is inside each and every one of us. Jesus would fulfill that prophecy spoken. He would fulfill that prophecy, and they will call him Emmanuel. You see, Jesus is our Christmas miracle. He is the free gift of salvation to all who believe. Romans 9:10-9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Jesus was and is the second miracle, the miracle of salvation. He is. Man, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is our salvation. Let's read some of the Christmas story from Luke 2. It says, at that moment, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to give born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snuggling strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And that night, while shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their sheep's flock, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and he will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth, lying in a manger. He came humbly to earth, a true miracle. The greatest of all miracles is Jesus Christ. The third miracle, the miracle is that he loved us. Think about that. He loved us. He loved us so much that he came and left heaven, and he came to live in amongst us. You see, the Bible tells us that in Genesis that there was a time where God that walked the earth with Adam and Eve. He did that because he wanted a relationship with each and every one of us. But there was something that divided, that stood in between God and Adam and Eve and stands in between us, and that sin that separates us. You see, we know John 3:16, it says, "For this is how he loved the world. He gave his one and his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God himself came back and walked the soil of a fallen world because he loved us. The true miracle of Christmas is that he just loves us. This verse shows us that God desires a fellowship with us. He loves us so much. This verse also shows that what sin does to our relationship with God. Sin broke their close relationship with him just like it does ours. But Jesus Christ opens the way for us to renew our fellowship with him. God longs to be with us. And the fourth miracle we're going to look at today is a miracle as he chose us to be his home. Man, think about that. It's not a temple anymore where God lives. It's inside each and every one of our hearts that we choose to bring him in, to accept him in to our life. He chose us to be his home. God is with us each and every day of our lives, not just physically, but through the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:14-9 says it all. He says, "When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious and unlimited resources, he will empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may know the power to understand how God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it was too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God." God chose us. He chose us to be his home. You see, the thing is, salvation is within each and everyone's reach. Accept this gift while you still can, for God is still with us. He has not abandoned us, but has sent his Holy Spirit to live with inside of us. Man, a privilege that I think that a lot of us, we just don't realize what a miracle that is that he chose me and he chose you. He chose each and every one of us to make his home. All we have to do is take a moment in our life to realize how much we need him. I mean, think of the priests in those days. They put themselves up in such high high pride and such a high level that didn't even recognize that God himself was standing right there with them. And the fifth miracle that we're going to look at today, there's a miracle, is God is still with us. God is still with us. I think each and every one of us in this room could testify in one way or another that God has done a miracle in your life. Miracles don't just happen by accident. They happen because God puts them into action. We don't understand why things happen to some and not to others. We don't understand why things go on like yesterday. We were all praying for a miracle on Friday night that the tornadoes wouldn't come through. As some were devastated, some were not, we can't understand God's what happens. But we can understand one thing, if we can, is how much God loves us. And how much he cares deeply for each and every person. And in some way, and in some form, God is always searching, is always doing things for us that we don't even see because he loves us so much. Each and every day, we could probably say that there is a miracle of something going on. And it goes back to how much he truly loves us. God is with us. There's a lot of times we feel like we're alone. I've talked to a few people this week, and they feel like that they have been abandoned. But God has never abandoned any of us. It's us that abandon him. It's us that walk away from him. It's in those times where instead of pushing God away, is when we should be drawing closer to him, not further away. As Jesus was standing at the entrance to Jerusalem, he began to weep. I wonder what those feelings were. Knowing all of the people that he ministered to, all the people that he loved, all of those things that was going on in those 3.5 years of his ministry, and all the people that walked away from him. I can testify in my life that has never been a focus in my life. No matter how the hardships that I have experienced, no matter the things that went on in my life, I can never be mad at God. I can never do that. Because I've come to realize one thing more than anything at all, and the simplest thing that we could ever do is to recognize how much he truly loves us. So what did he do? He left the perfect heaven, the paradise, and he became a man, he became a human to live with us, to visit with us, to laugh, to play, to eat, to fellowship, because he loved us. We throw that around so much, but it's so true, and if we could just grab and grasp how much he truly loves us and truly see God who he is. He's not a God that just wants to destroy. He's not a God that just wants all of these horrible things to happen to us. But he's a God that opens up his heart and opens up his arms for us so we can come to him. So we as children can come to him and find a place, a relationship with him. I think it's an incredible thing that if we could just realize and grasp a hold of, is that he is not out there, but he's in here. He's in us, or isn't he? Is he? How can we even try to begin to take a step in our life without talking to God. A God that decided to bring Himself, His Spirit, inside of us, the sinful nature that we are, to live inside of us. And always trying to speak to you and to me, trying to speak into our lives and our hearts, but yet we block it out. Is it because of pride? Is it because we don't want to listen? Is it because we want to do what we want to do? When will we come to a point in our life that we're going to say, God, I give it to you. God, I give my life to you. God, I'm not doing it my way anymore. It's a miracle. It's probably, to me, the greatest miracle of all miracles. It's not splitting the Red Sea. It's not raising someone from the dead. To me, the greatest miracle of all miracles happens inside our churches, hopefully every week. It's when a sinner, it's when somebody who is away from God comes back home. A born-again person is the greatest miracle of all miracles. It's when we're brought into a right relationship with Him. We have that ability to share that gift. And we try. You see, there's words that we state here that we say, we don't just say them, but people matter to God. Kids matter to God. Teenagers matter to God. Everybody matters to God. But how much are we willing to take those steps and those efforts in our life to share that with others around us? What do we do at Christmas? One of the greatest opportunities we have as a Christian, as a church, is to share the love of God. To give that gift of salvation. Now, we can't give, but we can sure introduce it. Because God loves us. Man. Just bow your head a moment, please, and just the silence. Man, today, I think it's always a good day. I try to every day in some way or some form is evaluate where I'm at. What am I doing to please God, or what am I doing in my life that's just not pleasing Him at all? Where are areas of my life that I'm not reaching out and sharing that opportunity of love? Man, He came to earth as a baby so He could live with us. And after all of those years, He died that criminal's death just for us, so He could go, and so He could send His Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us. Man, ask yourself, what are some things in your life you need to get right? What are some areas in your life that you can do better at about sharing His love? We have the greatest gift of all, but are we sharing that greatest gift of all? I struggled with this. Because to me, knowing how much He really, truly loves you and me, and are we doing enough to share that love? Man, today, we can always make a day a new day. We can always get right with God every day. But we can always look for the opportunities that God brings in front of us every day to share His gift. That miracle. Man, Lord, just speak into our hearts today. Each and every one of us, God, whether we're here, we're online, we have things in our life that are hindering us from coming closer to you. Help us not to get in a big hurry, but God, just to listen and to respond to your voice, to respond to you. I think, God, if we could just listen more and slow down, then our eyes would be open to so much more, so many more opportunities to help a dying world. Lord God, speak into our lives, and we ask you to guide us and direct us and to help us. Man, our kids today are, compared to when I was a kid, it's just like upside down. God, they need you. We don't even know how to socialize well. How can we reach people if we can't even talk? How can we reach people for you and continue the story of the Bible? Because we are the Acts. How can we do that if we don't get out of our comfort zone? How can we do it? How can our teenagers face what they've got to face and deal with what they got to deal with? If we can't even sit down and talk and be open, everything's got to be on a phone today. I think sometimes it's good to get back to where it was. You see, the thing is, Jesus left on that last day, that last week. He was weeping because of all of the opportunities that Jesus, that God was with them, and they didn't even recognize it. The one that they were praying for, their prayers were answered. Their prayers were answered, and yet they didn't even see him. How many of us today are in that same position? Because he loves you. Man, with every head still bowed, just God speaking to us. We're nothing without you. And I pray and ask you, God, if there's anyone here today that are truly, they know that they're not living for you, they would take a moment and ask you into their lives. I would love an opportunity to pray with you and to talk with you. Lord God, I just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to keep showing us every day and open our hearts so we'll know how much you truly love us. Help us to see. And if today, if you're here and you just need special prayer, I want you just to raise your hand for a moment. Say, today I just need someone just to pray with me today. Thank you. We all need someone that will take time and pray with us. Natalie and I would love to take a moment before you leave today. And if you would like to come and to pray and to talk, we would love to do that. I know it's not a typical service. I'm not a typical guy. But we can just rest in His peace knowing that He just loves us. And He is here right with us. And every step we got to make, whatever decision you got to take. Amen. Thank you for being here with us today. If you would like, Natalie and I would be happy just to take a moment and pray with you. Let's have a blessed day and let's share His love, for Christmas is coming. God bless you guys.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.